Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's one thing when your significant other crawls in bed with you. It's another thing when you have no idea what just crawled in bed with you.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? Would you like to share it? Because if you do, we would like to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can become a premium subscriber. No commercials. You get advanced episodes. You get access to the archive. And I'm telling you, there's almost 5,000 episodes in the archive. You can sign up today through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. Oh, Kathy Gordon, how's it going today?
Well, it's going well. Beautiful day. A little windy, but beautiful. I got something to tell you.
What?
Okay, so 2-3 weeks ago now in Chanute, there was a really bad apartment complex fire.
Yes.
And it completely burned down. And 2 people died in the fire. Numerous people were injured. Pets gone. People are still looking for
it
pets.
It was like 15 apartments or 24.
24 like apartments.
And
I mean gone. Like the whole thing's gone.
Did they ever find out what caused it, or are they still probably investigating?
I don't think I have not heard any thoughts yet about that. So I don't think there's been any official thoughts there. Anyway, I had a woman I knew that was living in that apartment complex lost everything, and so she came and stayed with me. So she'd been staying with me for a couple weeks, and found a place to live, which was remarkable because it's always hard to find rentals in this town anyway, let alone when 24 families are homeless and looking for places. But she found a house. And so yesterday she was moving out, and she was taking a bedroom set that I have to take to the new place. So she had a bed and stuff and whatever. And, so we were taking that apart and stuff, and I was the only one in the house except for my dog, Madden. And I got to thinking, I usually just leave my purse in the kitchen on the counter, but I thought, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of people in and out of the house that are moving her stuff today and coming and getting this. And, you know, she had several guys that were volunteers, real nice, that were moving her and everything. But I thought, you know, I should just put my purse somewhere else.
Yeah. That's just good and thinking. So, when you have that feeling, you should always listen to it.
Yeah, you know, I took it to my bedroom, and I thought, where should I, out of the way, because nobody's going to go back to my bedroom and, you know, just, I'll put it back here, shut the door, and not even think about it. So I put it on the other side of my famous dresser that has all the rearrangings, right? I also had then, I thought, you know what, after I did that, I should take my checkbook out of there because I'm going to need it for the carpet cleaner guy when he comes, because he was coming a little bit later.
You still have checks?
Yes, and he wanted a check.
Wow. If somebody wanted a check.
I rarely have a check. Oh. You know, what's weird is I keep my checkbook with me because I got one time I was in Oklahoma and I was on a toll road and I pulled up and handed him a card and they said, oh, we only take cash or checks. In a toll booth.
Damn, Oklahoma. That doesn't surprise me.
And I was like, what do you mean you only take cash or checks? Who's got that? Right? Well, I dug around and guess who had her checkbook? I wrote the Oklahoma Transportation Department a check for $2.50, you know, whatever. Ever since then, I keep it in my purse just in case I go to Oklahoma. Okay, that's a whole different story. But so I go back to my bedroom to get my checkbook out of my purse, and my purse is gone.
What?
Now, I have been the only person in the house. No one else has gotten there yet to move or to do anything, and it's just been me and Madden, and my purse is not there, and my heart is just pounding. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah, because like, everything's in your purse.
Where can my purse be, right? And I start looking around the room, and I had stripped my bed of the sheets. I was going to wash the sheets yesterday and clean my bed. And you know how sometimes you do that, and then you just throw the blankets back up on the bed? until the sheets are ready.
Yeah.
Right? This comforter and everything's up there. And I don't even know what made me do this, but I panicked and I grabbed the blankets off the bed. And Carol, my purse was under the blankets on the bed.
You don't think you're the woman who's been staying there. Well, why would she do that? Why would she go in and hide your purse?
Well, she wasn't there. I was the only person in the house. Nobody else came in between me setting my purse. And I just set it beside my dresser.
It's interesting because it's almost like whatever moved your purse felt the same way. Like, I really don't want anybody getting in Kathy's purse. I'm going to make sure
and
it's
then,
well
and maybe they thought it was too still too out. I don't know, but it then it. But who picks up, Madden could not have picked up my purse, jumped up on the bed, hidden it in the blankets, put the blankets all on top of this purse. And I just grabbed it out of desperation, the blankets, you know, and threw them. And then there was my purse. And I'm like, how, I would have known if I would have hidden my purse in blankets. I mean, you know, like, how did it get there?
That is crazy.
It's the famous place where the same dresser that gets rearranged all the time. It's the same, you know, place where I see the man standing. And so I set that purse there. I should have known something like that was going to happen with it.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? And I appreciate it. Did I think I would have to say out loud, I appreciate that you were watching out for me, but you kind of gave me a heart attack, but thank you.
They had to have known that because my heart was pounding. I'm like, oh my God, where's my purse? Where's my purse? I just set it here, you know, 5 minutes ago. And like, where is my purse? And it's buried under the blankets on my bed.
Wow. I don't even know what to tell you about that one.
And like, I had shut the bedroom door. Madden wasn't even in it, the bedroom. I just let, you know, he was out with me doing stuff. So no, nobody was there.
And
nobody went in.
The crazy thing is that could have, like, I don't know that I would have taken those sheets off the bed right away or the blankets.
Well, I'm not even sure why I did it. It was almost like I just went, oh my God, it's got to be somewhere, right? And I just grabbed these blankets and then there's my purse. And I was like, what? Yeah. And I don't even know why I looked there, why I grabbed it. I don't even know that, you know, because that was weird.
Anyway,
my purse is fine. I wrote a check to the guy. All is well that ends well. So
that is crazy. You want to hear a ghost story?
I do.
To go with
one.
Yours?
Yeah.
So this one says, hey, all, I want to say how much I really love this podcast, how you keep me entertained on my way to work and then home. It's a 30-minute drive one way to Amazon and then back home. Okay, now to the story. Well, I am glad you're listening, so thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Says, I used to travel for work. I would go around to different Army posts, replacing cameras from analog to digital. I was in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, staying at a Marriott hotel. One night, I was doing all the usual stuff I would do before going to bed. Shower, brush my teeth, make my lunch for the next day, call my wife, get my clothes ready, get my breakfast ready, because I had to get up at 5 a.m. and drive an hour one way and exercise for 45 minutes. Well, I started to wind down and climb into bed. And while I lay there, thinking of what I had to do the next day for work and was listening to music, I felt something get in bed with me. Now, mind you, I was by myself in the hotel room. I pulled the blankets over my head and said, oh, no, you didn't. That isn't how it was written, but it does say, oh, no, you didn't. So I had to read it. I interpreted it that way. Closed my eyes and forced myself to fall asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I was like, did that really happen? I was there for 3 months, and that was the only time that happened. I told the people I was working with what happened. They laughed and said whatever they wanted. I have told this story several times, and the only person that believes me is my wife. I want to make a trip back there to see if I can get it to happen again.
Ooh.
Is it once enough? I don't think I'd want that to happen again. And I don't think I'd have been able to fall asleep after that either. Another story I have is about my wife taking me to Estes Park, Colorado for my birthday and surprising me with a night tour at the Stanley Hotel. Side note, I met TJ Miller that night. He photobombed a selfie that my wife and I were taking. If you're not sure who he is, he played the bartender in Deadpool. I've never seen Deadpool, so I'm glad he added that.
It's a good one, though. It's good. I've seen it.
But that would be funny. Like, you're there, and it's like, wait a minute. It's like one time when I was in Miami, I looked up, and across from me at the baggage carousel was the cast of Reno 911. I was like, wait a minute,
well,
you
it's
guys.
Funny. Like, you might look over there and see Dangle and go, oh, you know, is that him or whatever? But then when you look at who's next to him,
I know, it's somebody that's what else, happened.
And then who's next to them?
And I totally fangirled, and I went around the baggage carousel, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm that girl. Holy cow.
I can't help it.
But then the funny thing is I fangirled and I never got a picture or anything. I just fangirled. But anyways, so I totally understand the feeling of him running into this guy. So it says, back to the story. He was there with his crew and got to record during the tour, which really isn't allowed, but they let him do it. I said to myself during part of the tour that if they are letting him, I'm going to record a short EVP. So I did, and I got something. I will attach the file. The tour guide was talking about the history of the Stanley Hotel when they installed a working elevator and telephone. You can also hear them talking about the heating. You couldn't hear it at this time, but after he said, when they installed the elevator, you can hear a voice. I won't tell you what it said, but you will hear it 8 seconds into the recording. Let me know what you think. I hope you all have an awesome day. Thank you for an amazing podcast and a place where people like me and others can relay our stories and not be made fun of. Love you all. Oh, that's so sweet. And he did share the EVP, and I'm going to turn this down so you can hear it, but you just don't, I think the recording is such that you just can't really hear it.
Well, and sometimes I think when you upload, it loses some of its quality.
So I'll play it.
And then
it.
We can't, you know, hear it.
And so I've gone through to, this is like right before it happens.
Lights, working elevator, and a working telephone. We didn't actually.
And that's where it is. It's right here.
We didn't actually.
And there's a little like.
It's like there's a double sound there.
Yeah.
Like,
here's one, you know, more time.
I can't make it out.
We didn't actually.
So, because when I first heard it, I thought my cat had walked up and meowed, which happens all the time. And then I realized my cat was asleep. So there's a little there. And if you had headphones on, you could probably hear it. So that's what he's talking about. But I get it, because if they're going to let TJ Miller record, that ain't fair that he's recording in front of you and you don't get to. So I'd have done the same dang thing.
No, I think that's, you know, I think people should be treated equally. But with that said, I totally believe you that there's something there. I just can't make it out.
Yeah, it's just like a,
you know. Hey, on that bed thing, though, in the Marriott, I just kind of have questions. Like, so he gets into bed, laying there. He feels somebody get into bed. Okay, that's a really super distinct feeling. He's awake. It's not like he's asleep.
He's just laying there thinking about the next day.
Thinking about what he's got to do, you know, how the day's going to go or whatever tomorrow. We all do that, right? And then somebody gets in bed. I'm not sure that I could have just rolled over and gone to sleep. That, you know, like, I'm wondering, was there anything else? Did he feel anything ever in the room? Like, you know, like somebody was there, somebody looking, did he hear any, you know, was there ever anything else? It just seems so oddly intense to have that situation happen and then never again, never anything else before, after. Does it to you?
I don't find that unusual, actually. I could see just having that experience. And you're staying in a hotel, so it's not like this is your home where things happen all the time. So I don't know. The thing that I found unusual was he said, I pulled the blankets over my head, said, no, you didn't, close my eyes and force myself to fall asleep. I can't ever force myself to fall asleep, but we are women of a certain age. We never sleep anyway. Good night's sleep. That's just what happens. But so that part, I don't think I could fall asleep after that.
Well, it just seems like such an intense experience to not have something lead up to it or happen again at another time or some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Maybe, and I don't
maybe
find
not.
That, I don't find
you know.
That, that it, because that would just be the sensation of somebody sitting down in. But, and this is, and it says actually, I felt something get in bed with me. So yeah. That would be more than just sitting on the bed.
Right. Getting in bed.
Yeah. So I don't know. But then you get much braver than me. I could not ever go back there. I just, that would be it with me in that hotel. Never want to go there again.
You, that night you would have been gone.
But he says, I want to make a trip back there and see if I can get to get it to happen again. So if you do, let us know. Cause I'd be fascinated to hear if you went back there. And I would almost think you have to get the same room too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Because if you got, because you got to recreate it, so you can't recreate it in another room.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think you got to go by yourself. Wife's got to stay home.
Well, yeah.
But I'm glad that his wife believes him, because
I believe him.
Yeah, I do too.
For what it's worth, I believe you too.
No, it doesn't. Kathy's the one who had her purse hidden last night. Who are we to judge?
That's right. My purse got up off the floor and got in bed.
Anything can happen.
That's right.
Well, thank you for writing that story. And here's our next one. It says, my grandparents live in a small community out in the country in Montana. And my best friend, I would call her May for this story, lived in a town about 20 minutes away. May and I grew up together when we were babies, and our families adopted each of us as their own. We were both horse-obsessed growing up, so being best friends, naturally, we kept our horses together at my grandparents' land. Native American tribes inhabited the area in which they lived and is close to where Canyon Creek Battlefield is, which was a war between the Nez Perce tribe and Colonel Sturgis and the 7th Cavalry. I learned this fact today as I was preparing to write this. I think this side note, I think that right there, what she said, comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, around 10 years ago, we were about 15 in the summer. Once my grandma was in the nursing home, my grandpa would go out of town with his four-wheeler club. My mom, May, and I would stay the night at my grandpa's. This particular time, there was a meteor shower, and May and I had never seen one, so our plan was to watch it on the back of our horses, riding bareback so that we could lay on them and watch. My grandparents' house was perfect for this, as there were no city lights, so the meteors could be seen clearly. Sounds like a really cool thing to do, actually, on your horses. A little after sunset, the time when you can still see things in some shadows, we were goofing off and riding around the pasture until the shower started. When we got to the portion of the pasture where the highway intersects my grandparents' land and the neighbor's land, both of our horses started to get panicky. They started prancing and tossing their heads like they wanted to run away. May and I thought it was weird, but we had heard coyotes yipping and howling, so we thought maybe that's what it had upset them. From the corner of my eye, I suddenly saw what I can only describe as a man in old military garb, like what you see Custer wearing. In the brief moment I saw him, it looked as though he was limping and holding an arm up like you would if it were injured, as he limped along the fence dividing the neighbor's land. I looked over quickly and I got a glimpse of the man for a second before he disappeared. I asked May if she had seen what I did, and she said she had and described him as I had seen him, exactly. We were so spooked that we ran the horses back to the barn and decided to watch from the house. I don't blame them. We got the horses in the barn and I ran into the tack room to get them some treats we kept by the big picture window on a shelf to get them to stay in the lean-to. As soon as I reached up in the window to grab the bag, a large white hand hit the window and stayed for a moment before sliding off. I screamed where the hand had hit was around 8 feet up, and so did May, who followed me into the tack room. We heard shuffling across the cement pad in front of the door to the tack room that leads to the back of the house. My mom, ever the worrier, had insisted that we take a walkie-talkie so that we could check in throughout the night as she stayed in the house and went to bed early. She's only 5'2", so there is no way the hand was hers, but we called in scared and asked her if she had smacked the window. Irritated that we woke her up, she told us no, that she hadn't. May and I decided we'd had enough and ran into the house as quickly as possible, leaving all the lights in the barn on. The next morning, we went back out to grain and water the horses and decided to go look at the window to see if there were any footprints that might have been left by whatever or whoever hit the window. What we saw sent shivers down our spines. The entire front of the tack room, minus the cement slab at the entrance of the tack room, was mud, and there was not a single footprint in front of the window or any mud on the cement where we had heard the shuffling the other night. To this day, we don't know who visited us. There are some more stories I will share later. Sorry for the long story, Lauren. Woo-wee! That is creepy. What's so creepy about it is they both saw the same things.
Yeah, I mean, there was totally somebody backing it up there. When she's like, did you see that? And her friend May said, yeah, this is what it was, and described it perfectly.
And they both saw the same kind of Custer-like man in old military garb.
Yeah.
Which is really freaky. And he's holding his arm and limping like he'd been injured. And there was a battle that happened right there. So I don't doubt for a minute that's what they saw. And the fact that the horses responded before they had even seen anything.
So I was just looking, and it does look like this battle happened in 1877, September 13th. I was looking to see, and she's right, it was about Sturgis. I don't see how many people were killed. I'm looking for that, but Calamity Jane was there.
That's interesting. She was in...
accompanying the wounded by boat down the Yellowstone River as a nurse.
Wow. I didn't know she did any nursing.
So, like I said, I'm not sure exactly. It looks like maybe there was a couple hundred fighters in it. I'm not sure about how many died. But I'm sure they were hurt. I'm sure there were some deaths in this battle. Interesting.
And what's so creepy is you get back to the barn. You're given, you know, you're putting the horses away, doing what you have to do. And that would be things that she would do all the time. Because obviously she rode horses a lot. That was her thing. She said she was horse obsessed. So that would all be what you would normally do. And then to randomly see a hand on a window that's like trying to get in or something.
Yeah.
That would be so freaky. I'm kind of surprised the mom reacted the way she did, irritated, and didn't like grab a gun and run out there because something's messing with her kids. But it probably woke her up and she was like, what are you guys talking about?
They're girls, you know, and, you know, I know when I was young that, you know, anything would have scared me. I'd have jumped a mile, you know, and so, you know, mom's like, it's nothing. You know, she's asleep in a long day. It's fine, you know. I'm sure she didn't think that much of it, really.
But if you called and you were like, Mom, we just saw a hand. Someone's climbing into the barn. I would be like, I mean, you can't really call the police because they're probably way out in nowhere land. But I don't know. I think I would have responded a little differently than irritated.
Well, did she say
I'm
that?
I'm not
she
here to judge.
Mom, did she told her mom that night about the hand or that?
Yeah,
she
they
just,
called her on the walkie talkies.
But she told her there was a hand in the window.
Because it said, yeah. And because it said, right, we called in scared and asked her if she had smacked the window. And mom's like, no, leave me alone. I'm sleeping.
Well, it doesn't really say, you know, smack in the window might just be, you might think that's just a sound or something. You know, it doesn't really say I saw a white hand.
Yeah.
In the window. So her mom might have thought they just heard something smack the window and was like, no, you know.
Mom was probably, for the first time in a long time, getting a good night's sleep. It's like, damn it.
Well, but she probably, you know, didn't. I just get a feeling that the mom did not, you know, she just thought it was not a big deal, whatever. However the girls worded it, it didn't seem to, you know. I do think you're right. Had the girls said there was this hand they saw, she probably had flipped out. But I think they might have just suggested they heard a noise or something.
Maybe that was it.
You know.
Or like I said, maybe mom was just like, I am so tired. This is going to have to wait till morning. Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, access to the archive and all the advanced episodes. Sign up today at Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.